And so there is, praise the Lord. Life for a look. That's how Spurgeon was saved as a boy of 16. He looked. And when he looked, he lived. That's all you've got to do. I want to speak tonight for a few moments, folks, on a subject that's really summed up in one word. And that is the word eternity. Did you ever think, I'm not trying to be morbid or frighten anyone, but did you ever think that before this year is over, and we've only a couple of weeks to go, any one of us could be in eternity? Number of years ago, a dear old lady in the city of Belfast, I think in a Neelum church, was giving her testimony one Sabbath night. And she'd worked very hard to get her family in to the meeting. She wanted them to hear her testimony. For like most mothers in Ulster, there are children that they have and they're not saved. And she gave her testimony. And as she stood up in the pulpit, she read those words, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And as she said those words, giving a gasp, she fell back into the arms of the preacher sitting behind her, a corpse. She just died there and then. What a sermon that must have been. My, if you were never saved and you saw that, it would certainly get you thinking, wouldn't it? Eternity. Lord William Russell, sentenced to death many, many years ago. He was on the scaffold. He took his watch. He gave it to a Dr. Burnett. And he said this, "My watch may be of service to you. I have no further occasion for it." He realized that because he was leaving time, as we all will, as Jesus tarries, his thoughts were fixed on eternity. It was old Gandhi who said that 15 years before he died, he was entirely satisfied with his Hindu religion. And in his deathbed, that few years later, he said, "All around me is darkness and despair." He was frightened to die. Because surely there must be something about the concept of eternity that causes you to think. And I want tonight just to fix our thoughts in this for a moment or two. Paul writes in the 18th verse of 2 Corinthians 4, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal." I read a few years ago that in the Cathedral of Milan, which undoubtedly is a Roman Catholic cathedral, there is a triple archway. On one, there's a carving of roses with the inscription, "All that which pleases is but for a moment." On the other one is an inscription that says, "All that which troubles us is but for a moment." But in the central arch, the inscription says, "That only is important which is eternal." And beloved, I want to tell you tonight, that's so very true. How true it is. I have three things to leave before you tonight concerning this concept, this truth of eternity. First of all, it is a reality that is universal. The verse we read speaks about something temporal. And when you look around you, everything is decaying and dying and ending. We are all going down the valley and soon will be gone. There are things which are seen. In verse 8, we read the words, Paul writes, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, cast down, and so on. Here were things that Paul, the apostle, had seen in his own life. He had seen it in Tarsus, Jerusalem, Corinth, Rome, much, much more, and in many other places. And all of that was temporal. You know, beauty itself is temporal. The wife of Abraham, Sarah, even as an elderly lady, was beautiful. The Bible says, fair to look upon. Even among the courtiers in Egypt, she stood out. But a day came when Abraham said, let me bury my dead out of my sight. Beauty had decayed, folks, and gone. And this godly woman, Sarah, was gone into eternity. You see, cosmetics won't always do it. Facelifts, nip and tuck, not always do it. Age comes, doesn't it? A woman said to me one day out of the Newton Arch Church, she said, you know, brother, she said, growing old is not for wimps. I wondered what she meant. Now I know, because I'm growing old. In 1918, I will reach the 70. And I feel like I've reached the 50 already. But listen, your eyes get dim, don't they? Your ears close up. Memory fades. Man went to his doctor. He said, doctor, I have a problem. Doctor says, what's your problem? He said, well, it's my memory. I can't remember anything. I can't remember where I put my watch, where I'm supposed to go. The doctor looked at him and said, how long have you had this problem? The man said, what problem? Couldn't even remember that. One day in our house a few years ago, I heard a sort of a yell from the bathroom. Not something I was hearing very often, but I heard it and I went to inquire. I said to my wife, what's up with you? She says, look, she grabbed the hair. She says, it's grey. I've got grey hair. I says, dear, what did I tell you? I'm thankful that I have any hair at all. What are you worrying about, grey hair? Scripture tells us that Ephraim hath grey hair here and there upon him, and he knew it not. That's a picture of the backslider who backslides even unconscious. You can be backslidden and not be aware of it. And surely one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture is where we read of Samson when he jumped up to beat the Philistines. He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. He didn't know. Felt the same. But he didn't know. And I tell you, that distressed my wife that she was going grey. Now she's been had far more to worry about since that than going grey, I can tell you. But no matter what you do, you've seen some of these ladies and they've had this Botox stuff. And man, some of them have a face like a trout. It's all swelled up and their lips are three times the size and oh, it's horrendous. Oh, you don't need any of that. Just let the fat come. It'll decay eventually, I tell you. Beauty, you see, it's just temporal. It'll pass away, it'll fade. They've discovered in Egypt a new mummy from 3,000 odd years ago. I'm sure that mummy wasn't too worried and wouldn't be too worried now about cosmetic surgeries. Beauty is temporal. Strength is temporal. You see folk out jogging. God bless them. I'm sure some of them have been found in the shuch a time or two, collapsed. But, you know, I have no problem with people who get fit. As I told you this morning, I do go to the gym, believe it or not, and I can tell you, there's some Schwarzeneggers about the gyms. Man, they just stand. You can see them just standing there, you know, showing off the muscles and all. And don't seem to do very much in the machinery, but the rest of us are there in the sweat blindness and we're doing our best, but we're getting nowhere. Ah, listen, it fades, my friend, it does fade. I saw the three of the footballers a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago, who had won the World Cup in 1966 with England. I watched the World Cup, it was terrific. These men, man, they were so fit. See now, they're needing knee joints and hip joints. They've arthritis. They've all these kinds of problems. Why? Because they're headed towards eternity. They're getting there fast. And so are we all. I think it's 45 years married. You know, it's just like yesterday. Oh, what a terrible day yesterday was. But you know what I mean. It just passes so quickly, doesn't it? Your home, your wealth, your health, it's all temporal. All you have, beloved, listen, is a hole in the ground. In fact, you don't even have a hole in the ground. It has you. I was looking to see where my spot would be in the graveyard in Tandragee. Don't like to think about those things, sure we don't, but listen, we should, because eternity's coming. Every time I married a young couple over the last number of years, I've always said a word in Matthew 6:33 to them directly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I said, now listen, you need to see about a home. You want to try and have a home and children and raise a family, have a happy life, and I hope you do. And it's the will of God in all probability that you will. But always seek first the kingdom of God. If you fail to do that, you can miss out. Here's a challenge for everyone tonight. But it should be something that's a comfort too. Paul's troubles, and he had many, came to him simply because he was a servant of Jesus Christ. There was no other reason why Paul suffered other than he was a child of God serving the Lord. When you read verses 8 through 17, and we'll not do it tonight, in the chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, you'll see that all these things he speaks of will soon be passed. Look at verse 17. He calls it our light affliction. Think of that. Light affliction. This man was mutilated, beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, really abused dreadfully in his life. Light affliction. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There you have it. It's eternal. What a comfort that should be to us all. That word eternity in Isaiah, that's the only place that occurs in that form in the Bible. What a solemn thought. Eternity. Universal reality. But eternity is unending, not only universal. The things which are not seen, and we can't see eternity, the things which are not seen are eternal. I was listening to a preacher once in the States. He spent the whole sermon trying to demonstrate that eternal life was different from everlasting life. I didn't know what he was talking about. There's no difference. It's eternal. There's no change in eternity. There's no decay. It's unending. Now, the concept of eternity, of course, appears many times in the scriptures. I read some statistics. Now, don't let your mind try and take all this in, for you'll get lost, and as I did. But 1 million years, that's 1,000,000,000. 1 trillion years is 1,000,000,000,000. 1 quadrillion is 1,000,000,000,000,000. 1 quintillion is 1,000,000,000,000,000. Man, that's hard to grasp, isn't it? It's hard to grasp. And yet, when all that time has passed, eternity hadn't even begun. That's why you should be reaching out for the opportunity to lay hold on the eternal God, friends, and his salvation. For the only one that can give eternal life, that can match eternity itself in terms of duration, is Christ. Not asking you if you're a Protestant or a Roman Catholic, a Presbyterian or a Free Presbyterian. In this issue, that doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Christ by faith? Have you trusted him? Cast all your care upon him, taken him into your heart as Savior and Lord. That's what you need to do to prepare for eternity. The psalmist David could say, though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, death for him was only a shadow. You know what a shadow is. A shadow can't do you any harm. No substance in it, surely not. Well, death for the believer is just a shadow. It can't harm us because a Savior died in our place. And he said at the end of that beautiful shepherd, Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think of it. Forever. 1 Thessalonians talks about being forever with the Lord. It's one of my hymns for my funeral. Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Forever. The psalmist says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's bliss for the redeemed, you know, but it's banishment for the lost. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 25 and the verse 46, the Bible says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Jesus is the speaker. But the righteous into life eternal. Side by side, yet separated forevermore. Consider that for a while. Lost forevermore. It's a sad, sad situation. In the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and the chapter 14, I have a number of scriptures, but I'm not going to read any more than this one just now. But in Revelation 14, verse 11, it talks about the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Friend, listen. The Bible paints a dreadful picture of hell and judgment and wrath. This book speaks about the wrath of the Lamb. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction in terms? How could a lamb display wrath? Well, on that day, Men will run from the face of the Lamb and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And all that will do, of course, is to put them into a lost eternity. You see, there's a way into hell. There's no way out of hell. The rich man couldn't even go to his brethren. He became a believer when he went to hell, and they all do, you know. But he couldn't even request that one would come and dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. He said, I am tormented in this flame. This is reality. It's solemn. But my friend, listen, it's serious. Universal reality. An unending eternity. An unavoidable recognition. Surely, if you're not saved tonight, you must recognize your plight. Oh, beloved, it's heaven or hell forevermore. The Lord Jesus says in the 16th chapter of John, the first part of verse 5, these words, John 16, verse 5, but now I go my way. Notice the wording. I go my way to him that sent me. Now, if you want to be where he is, you have to go his way. And to do that, you have to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following Jesus. Ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall. Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. You can be in the place where Jesus is. Someone said that eternity is a sea with no bottom. It is an ocean with no shore. It is life with no end. My friend, the most wonderful thing in all God's creation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's only one gospel. This idea that men were saved in different ages, in different ways, is not scriptural at all. There's only one gospel. It's described as the everlasting gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Paul. It's the gospel of God's dear Son. He says, it's my gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel Jesus preached. But I'll tell you this, it's one and the same gospel. Saved by grace alone. That can be your only plea. And if you're not saved tonight, we come to the end of our meeting. We've only spoken for 26 minutes, I think it is. So you'll have an early exit. But I tell you this. You can say all that needs to be said in that time. And if you're not a child of God, if you're not saved tonight, you're lost. The Bible doesn't use the term unsaved, you know. We do, and I believe it's quite right to do that. But it's not a biblical word. Saved certainly is a biblical word. But unsaved, not in the scriptures, as far as I know. But I'll tell you what is in the scripture, the word lost. Because if you're not saved, you see, you're lost. You haven't been found yet. Old Luther sought for Jesus for years, not realizing that the whole time the Lord was searching for him. And aren't you glad tonight that the Lord found him? What a character. We were in Germany recently. Stayed in the Martin Luther Hotel in Wittenberg. Think of that. There's a big monument, a big statue of Luther in the front porch or the foyer of that place. Nearly fills the whole section of the... And I just stood there in amazement. I said, look at that. Could you see that in Belfast? Not a chance. But I rejoiced that Luther, as he walked those cobble streets, and we did it too, went to the very same church that he went to. imagined in our minds the day, the night when he nailed that thesis to the place that struck a blow for gospel truth and gospel freedom. You know, when you come to Christ, friend, you live. Yet you don't live. It's Christ that lives within you. I trust you'll consider the great question of eternity and you'll come to know him. If you don't know him, we're here to help you. Be at the door. If you'd like a word, we'll just have to say that's all you need to. Just whisper it even to me. And I'll have a word with you. I can't save you. Of course I can't. But I can tell you how to be saved. May the Lord bless you and bless his word to our hearts. There's only one hymn we